You're listening to the Back Home Network, presented by Home Field Apparel.
Welcome, Hoosier fans, to another victorious episode of the Assembly Call as tonight your Indiana Hoosiers defeat the visiting North Carolina Tar Heels 77-65 in the final game of the Big Ten ACC Challenge. The win moves Indiana to 7-0 on the season in a game that really didn't feel as close as the final result. Indiana wins by 12, but it really felt like they dominated the game with their tenacity on defense, their ability to get out in transition, and just a lot of togetherness and grit, and a team that played so hard for 40 minutes, and it just made it so much fun to watch. And we are going to break it all down for you on this edition of the Assembly Call IU Post Game Show. I'm Jared Morris, here with Ryan Phillips, here with Andy Bottoms, and let's start this show the way we start every show, and that is with our Hoosier Proud banner moment. And I'm actually going to go all the way back to the first half for the banner moment, when it was 28-24, and really control of the game was kind of hanging in the balance. I mean, even though Indiana had dominated, you know, North Carolina was getting enough free throws, getting enough banked in three-pointers to kind of hang around. And what happened next gave Indiana a lead that they just wouldn't relinquish, and it was all powered by defense. It was that sequence when they had two straight steals that led to layups. The first was Xavier Johnson deflecting a pass. He got it up to Trey Galloway, who scored, and then Jordan Geronimo got a deflection, dove on the floor, got the ball. He got it up to X, who got it up to Trey for the dunk. It put Indiana up 32-24. It was just incredible effort on defense and turning that defense into offense. On a night when Indiana wasn't able to get a lot done from behind the three-point line, they were able to stay efficient on offense because of what they were able to do in transition. Carolina, I don't believe, got it any closer than six the rest of the way. And even though there were obviously some big moments in the second half, and we'll talk about those as we go throughout the show, it really kind of felt, even in the moment, that that was a huge, huge little mini run for Indiana that pushed them out, kind of gave Indiana the control that it felt like they had from the way they played but didn't have it on the scoreboard, pushed the lead out, and it was just tremendous defense from a team that played unbelievable defense all night long. All right, and now let's talk about our presenting sponsor. Oh, yes, that's right. Our banner moment, as always, presented to you by our friends at Home Field Apparel, now in their sixth season of sponsoring the Assembly Call and their second as the presenting sponsor of the Back Home Network. And as you know, Home Field has the largest collection of vintage IU apparel that you will find anywhere, with beloved logos like two different versions of the Bison and so many old vintage logos that they have pulled out, breathed new life into. And they don't just do that for Indiana, they do it for schools across the country. And that's what makes Home Field Apparel the best place to go for your Christmas shopping, because you can knock out most of the people on your list in one trip. And even though one trip to their website, and even though, you know, right now you missed their Black Friday sale, they're surely going to have some other sales coming up. But either way, you can still use our promo code HOME and get 15% off your entire first order. So no matter who is on your shopping list, what college they support, Home Field Apparel is going to have something really cool and interesting for those folks. Not to mention, it's on comfortable materials, the colors last through many washings, and you're supporting an Indiana-based company that came up through the Kelley School of Business. They're just awesome people, and they do awesome work and create awesome products. So go to homefieldapparel.com, use our promo code HOME, and you will get 15% off your entire first order. That's promo code HOME for 15% off. Again, the website, homefieldapparel.com. All right, well, it is time to move the ball, find the open man, and get some opening thoughts from the rest of our team. And we will start with Andy Bottoms. Andy, your Bottoms line on this Indiana victory.
Just a great win for the team. Seemed like an absolutely amazing environment. Coach was sending us some pictures and videos, and saw a lot of those on Twitter. So just awesome crowd. But boy, what you said was true. I mean, the defense in the first half in particular, and early in the second half, was just absolutely smothering and choking the life out of North Carolina, possession after possession. Just great effort from a number of guys, some you would expect, some of them you might not. I know we talked a little bit about in our chat about Miller Kopp's defense early in the second half. I mean, that was really what set the tone. Everything was a grind for North Carolina. And until they really unleashed Armando Bacot and his array of moving screens, that really they really did a number on Carolina. And then on the offensive end, the quartet of Jalen Hood-Schifino, Xavier Johnson, TJD, and Trey Galloway, basically, they outscored North Carolina between the four of them 66-65. And it was like those guys would just kind of tag each other in and out when you needed somebody to step up and make a play. And it really showed from a guard perspective and a wing perspective the importance of having multiple playmakers there, because you really had different guys that could attack matchups with North Carolina as they switched Leaky Black around to try to shut down different people. IU just went to somebody else to initiate the offense, and that was huge. And TJD, great performance from him. Those four really shouldered the load offensively for sure. So lots to talk about, lots of excitement, great home win for this team, and such a strong defensive effort.
Ryan, I think I have a hunch what you're going to rant about. Everyone was ranting about all game.
You know what, Jared? There's positives and negatives from this game. Let me start with the positives, because you guys know me. I am always a glass half full kind of guy.
Always.
So always. Never the other way around. First off, this game, when I was growing up in Southern California and would watch Indiana basketball and was told what Indiana basketball was, this tonight, that's what Indiana basketball always was. It was this kind of effort, that kind of arena, you know, that kind of just electricity and atmosphere. We haven't had that consistently for a long time. Tonight is the reason that fans of the school go to Indiana. And it's the reason that players go to Indiana. It's a game like this with a marquee opponent, and you just absolutely dominate. Like, I know this final score looks like 8 points. This was a 20-point win, and we'll get to why in a minute.
It was 12. But it was at least 12.
Or 12, I'm sorry, not 8, 12. But this is what Indiana basketball is supposed to be and what has been missing for the past few decades. Kudos to Mike Woodson and these players for creating that atmosphere, for creating that kind of effort and energy, playing that kind of defense, which we saw last year, but to be able to do it this year when you're up tempo and scoring more and still play that kind of defense, rebound the way they did. This is Indiana basketball. This is what it's supposed to be. And this team is playing that way. And I don't expect it to stop anytime soon. This is a really, really good basketball team. They are who we thought they'd be. They're going to get better. You know, you had some of the younger guys playing like they were young tonight at times and whatever. And North Carolina, I know, came in hurt and whatever. This team can stand toe-to-toe with anybody if they play this way. Anybody, like across the country. So, again, kudos to everybody involved for creating what they have created so far. Now they just got to keep carrying it forward. Now we'll get to the other half, which the only reason this wasn't an absolute ridiculous blowout is because of the foul calls by these officials. At one point, North Carolina had been called for 10 fouls. Middle of the second half, Indiana had been called for 20. They were out shooting Indiana at the free throw line 25-8. That's not reality. It's just not.
Well, North Carolina was the more aggressive team all game, so, I mean, it makes sense, right?
Oh, yeah, totally.
Well,
no,
and obviously, IU wasn't attacking the basket and scoring 50 points in the paint or anything where one might get fouled.
Those arguments are just so moronic. You hear them from time to time, and it's so stupid. Like, Indiana was attacking, cutting, doing everything they were supposed to do, driving, being aggressive, playing aggressive defense without doing, I mean, you know, guys bump into each other. It's basketball. If you're going to allow it, I don't mind them calling it the way they called it on North Carolina's end or the way they called it on Indiana's end. I mind it when they don't call it the same on both ends. And that was absolutely atrocious tonight. And Mike Woodson was in their ear the entire time. This wasn't a thing where he wasn't advocating for it. The players were talking about it. Like, and quite frankly, good on the players and the coaching staff for not letting it get them off their game. They just kept answering back every time. But that kind of officiating ruins games. It ruins college basketball. So, again, good on the team for playing through it, because it was horrific all night long. I was thinking maybe, hey, you know, they had a bad 10 minutes. They'll even it out over here. It was bad the entire game. And then with about 5 minutes left, they started finally calling fouls on North Carolina, because I think they realized just how bad it was. So, again, thumbs up to the team for playing through it, because I certainly wouldn't have. I'd have gotten thrown out.
They even got confused, and North Carolina was trying to foul. It took them a little while to actually call.
Dean Billis was dropping some notes in there as well every once in a while.
Gentlemen, let's talk about Trayce Jackson-Davis, because at Indiana's two biggest games, he has been the best player on the court. You recall what he did at Xavier, scoring 30 points and just putting the team on his back. You know, tonight, the point numbers aren't as gaudy. 21 points, 9 of 16 field goals, still very efficient, still a terrific game. But also 10 rebounds, 4 assists, and 4 block shots to go along with it. And he was the leader out there. You know, and we know that, you know, Trayce isn't 100%. He's dealing with the wrist issue. He's dealing with the back issue. But once again, Andy, when the lights were the brightest for this Indiana team, Trayce was ready. And there were certainly, you know, a kind of a sequence there in the second half where the offense felt familiar, where it was, let's get it inside to Trayce and let's go. And in the first half, really, it kind of felt like Indiana's offense, you know, was stagnating a little bit because they weren't playing through him enough. You know, and when they did, good things happened. And so, you know, once again, on a big stage, Trayce was an All-American, just continuing a terrific senior season. He was great tonight.
Yeah, he was... He really forced North Carolina to try to find different ways to defend him. You know, Baycott could push him out on the floor, but then he couldn't guard him once he put it on the deck. And then Nance would give up inside position, and he did an okay job of pushing Trayce out at times. But you know, some of the offensive rebounding he did early on was key, and just great effort level. And I think to a certain extent, you know, he didn't want to come out at the end of the first half, but that gave him a little bit extra. He only ended up playing 31 minutes because of some of the foul trouble, and they could really ride him a lot in the second half. And I thought that was really important. And I think, you know, the stats are obviously great. Didn't turn the ball over at all, made smart decisions passing out of the post for three-pointers to multiple guys. And the other thing that you really don't measure by that is pretty much every one of those floaters that either Galloway or Xavier Johnson hit is the fact that Trayce Jackson-Davis is the magnet where all the defense is saying, I don't want to give up a lob to this guy. I'm going to hang back. And then those guys were able to convert. Those opportunities are there for him because of, or for them, because of what Trayce Jackson-Davis really brings as a, you know, kind of gravitational pull on the offensive end. So just a really, really strong performance from him against another really good player. I know Baycott was banged up. I don't know if you guys heard, but he injured his shoulder at some point on a block that looked completely clean to me in the first half. But anyway, just did, you know, showed some versatility though. And I think that continues to be important that he could score with his back to the basket, but also facing up. I think he continues to evolve a little bit in that way as well.
Well, the thing is, Ryan, I mean, Andy makes a great point, you know, about Indiana's guards getting some of those floaters because guys aren't just going to leave Trayce because he's such a devastating lob guy. Well, that also worked on the other end. You know, there were several possessions in the first half where Trey Galloway was just hounding Caleb Love. Now, Caleb Love is more athletic than Trey, got a step on him, but he missed the layups because he was worried about Trayce coming over and he tried to put it up high off the backboard. So you're right. You see a great stat line like that, and even that stat line doesn't fully encompass the impact Trayce Jackson-Davis had on this game.
There's no better deterrent than a guy that can block shots. It makes it as a guard. You guys play basketball. You're going in there. You know there's a big guy in there ready to block your shot. It's going to affect the way you put it up. And so he earns a lot of possessions for Indiana on the back end just being on the floor. But what I'll say about Trayce tonight is he was the best player on the floor. Just the best player on the floor. I mean, you know, I know some of these other guys have bigger NBA prospects or whatever. He was the best college basketball player on the floor, and everybody knew it. North Carolina knew it. His teammates knew it. Everybody in the arena knew it. He just walked onto the floor whenever he came out, and you could see North Carolina being like, oh, God, like we got to do this again. And what did he do? He did what stars do. He took the ball. He went there was no craft in his game tonight. He was basically like, okay, Pete Nance, you can't guard me. I'm going to go right there and I'm going to score. And if I miss the shot, I'm going to come back down next time and I'm going to make it. Like there was no mystery about it. And he just beat them because he's better than them, you know? And those are good players on the other team too. I mean, those guys are really good post players, and he just dominated them. And, you know, you come away 21 points, 10 rebounds. It's not the biggest statistical game ever. That was one of his biggest games ever. To be honest, it was. Because of the opponent, because of the situation, because you're undefeated, because you're playing at home, because it's the last ACC Big Ten Challenge, and he was the best player on the floor. And these are the kind of performances when we talked, you know, previously about, in our previous show, about him becoming a legendary IU player. Statistically, he's going to be there. But what you do in big moments is what defines how you're remembered. Nights like this is how that's going to happen for Trace. And in the first half, they didn't go to him enough. Then they started pounding it with him, and he just started dominating. And again, what can you say about the guy? He's been rising to the occasion since about midseason last year. He's risen to the occasion every single time, and he keeps doing it.
We just passed 1,000 live viewers at 11:54 Eastern time. Love having you all here after a big win like this. The excitement is back.
I don't know, guys, doing an Indiana post game show, who's going to want to watch that? Like, it's 12 years in, I'm not sure this is a great idea.
You know, it feels like there's still so many people that we have to get to, and we're gonna get to everybody, all the great performances tonight, but we have to talk a little bit more about Trey Galloway, who, you know, obviously has been dealing with some injuries. But man, you know, think back to the last two huge home wins Indiana has had. Last year against Purdue, tonight against North Carolina, and Trey's defense on the other team's most dynamic offensive player was just huge in getting that win. Andy, you know, just the way that he harassed Caleb Love. I mean, when he first got in the game, he was picking up Caleb Love 40 feet from the basket. And it really just didn't seem like Caleb Love had any interest in, you know, in dealing with this guy that was just going to be all over him. You know, and that effort and his ability to get out and transition, his ability to be crafty around the basket, you know, that's really the thing tonight. You know, we've seen the defense from Trey. But for him to be able to come in and give you 11 points, and not just all in transition, some of those little floaters in the half court in the second half were huge. You know, they're the kind of shots where it's a 9-point game, you push it right back out to 11. That's the thing Indiana did tonight. As North Carolina would go on a little 4-point run, they'd get it to 7 or 8, and Indiana would have an answer. You know, and that is something that is different about this team. It's even different than how they handled the end of the Xavier game. You know, they didn't let North Carolina make those one or two plays, and it's because they had an answer on offense, they had an answer on defense, and a lot of times in the second half, that answer was Trey Galloway. And so you really saw his value defensively, but then also tonight he brought more value offensively than what we've seen. And it's just, you know, yet another example. I don't think most Indiana fans need it, but yet another example of why he is so essential to how this team wants to play. And just what they do. He was great.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Coach Marlowe should be on doing the victory lap of all victory laps for this one. And I'm sure he is right now. But and you know, that's he's a guy that I thought, you know, what happens to him if he can't figure out a way to shoot the ball better? Is he a guy who loses minutes to some other people? That was clearly incorrect as you look at what he's able to do, but especially coming back after missing these games and being able to really count on him for big minutes. But, you know, another guy who, you know, was able to help IU get out in transition, get some of those baskets, which you're accustomed to with him, those couple, you know, the layup and the dunk that you had mentioned. The dunk, I loved Geronimo's reaction as he like leapt in the air from the 3-point line when he
jumped out the gym
when Galloway threw it down. And then that layup was pretty big late in the game as well, where he poked the ball away from behind, Trace threw it ahead to him. But those other two were, you know, floaters where he's able to do that. And again, I just felt like IU did a good job of figuring out which is the matchup that we can exploit. When Galloway was out there, if he could get around somebody, had a really nice pocket pass to Trace for a layup in the first half. And just was able to take advantage of those matchups and was just absolutely harassing Caleb Love defensively. And, you know, they made a couple tough shots on him, but it was a huge improvement even from the defensive effort that he had on Kunkel. If you think back to the Xavier game and what he was able to provide there, I mean, a tougher guy to guard, but he was just fantastic on that end. Just brings that energy that we've seen from the bench consistently. And in key moments, those guys have provided sparks, and he's been at the forefront of that.
Yeah, on Trey, I think we all give him credit for being quick and being active and being fast and buzzing around and all of that. We talk about that all the time. What we are, you know, less effusive in our praise of is just how physical he is. Guys know they're being guarded by Trey Galloway, and he's away from the ball. He's bumping him. He's moving him. He's right in their face. He's on him. He's leaning on him. He blocks out really aggressively. And when he's on offense, he sets good screens. He's a physical basketball player. And I think sometimes that gets lost because you're used to seeing him streaking down the floor or running through cuts or you know, going right down the lane for a floater. He's a physical kid, and that wears on you when he's defending you. And I mean, again, you guys are right. Like, him just chasing around North Carolina's guards, I mean, they were annoyed, and they get annoyed. And it happened last year. Jaden Ivey got really annoyed with him twice last year. And he's exactly what you need at times. I think, you know, there have been people talking about, should he start him, whatever. I love him coming off the bench. Just as you think their best defenders are coming off the floor and you're going to get that second wave, and then having him be the first guy that greets you if you're the point guard or a shooting guard, it's a perfect role for him, especially with the way this lineup works. And so really just I always forget that. And then I'll watch a game like tonight, and I'll just see how imposing he can be physically on guys. And he's bigger than you think he is, too. So, yeah, great night for Trey. He was fantastic. Those floaters, that's his most confident shot. It's not a layup. It's not a dunk. It's that floater where he's going right down the lane. And we've seen it last year, and we've seen it this year.
Yep. No question. All right. Well, coming up here as we continue our breakdown of Indiana's 12-point victory. We will point out tonight's meaningful moments you might have missed, and then we will go inside the numbers to highlight the most important statistical notes from the game. You are listening to the Assembly Call. Stick with us.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hi, this is James Blackman Jr. I never miss an open three, and I never miss an episode of the Assembly Call. Join Jared, Andy, Ryan, and coach after every IU basketball game. Go Hoosier.
Thank you, James. James Blackman Jr., one of many Hoosier legends who was in the house tonight, along with many recruits who got to see an excellent atmosphere and an excellent women. How could you come and watch that and not want to be a part of that?
That's a showcase game.
It was, and really smart by the staff to have so many guys there. You know, I mean, that's a great way to organize your recruiting. All right, it's the beginning of segment two. You know what that means. Meaningful moments that you might have missed. Yes, it is time for tonight's Meaningful Moments You Might Have Missed, and it's brought to you by our friends at Hoosier Ticket Project, where they help individuals and families experience IU athletic events in person for the first time through the generosity of alumni and fans. To learn more about how you can donate money or extra tickets to help create meaningful moments for other IU fans, visit HoosierTicketProject.org. That's HoosierTicketProject.org. Look, for the first meaningful moment, it's not a meaningful moment that anybody missed, but maybe it's a meaningful moment that has been forgotten because it happened at the very start of the game. And that's the way that Jalen Hood-Schifino came out in his first big game and ended up scoring, I think, 12 of Indiana's first 19 points, you know, making a couple threes, hitting a runner. And it was really important, you know, because Indiana's offense, you know, in some ways, as we mentioned, they weren't getting it to Trace a lot, you know, and it stagnated at times. But Hood-Schifino's ability to just be a shot maker and a guy who can go get a bucket was great to see, especially from a guy, Ryan, who has obviously struggled a little bit with his shot. But what it showed you is this young guy is not afraid of the moment. I mean, he was ready. It's not that he was hunting shots. He was just ready for the opportunities when they came, and they were all good shots. They were all within the flow of the offense. You know, now his scoring would slow down a little bit, and you know, there are probably a couple of passes there late in the second half that he wants to have back, But man, the scoring, I think he had 8 rebounds or 6 rebounds. I don't know. He and X had 14 between them. But, you know, again, you know, on a big stage for Jalen Hutchinson in front of apparently NBA scouts from 30 teams, really showed off, you know, showed the full array of what he can do. And seeing that scoring early was just great to see, and really important for Indiana to get off to a good start, keep the crowd engaged. You know, that's really what Jalen did, and it was nice to see.
Yeah, we've talked about Jalen, and I think that we've talked about how that guy could score 2 points and have a massive impact on a game. He's one of those guards, like a Jason Kidd type, you know, early in his career, where he didn't have to score to have a huge impact on a game. And tonight he was scoring, so it was sort of the cherry on top. I think that the amazing thing about him is, you're right, he's not cowed by the moment. He was absolutely from the jump. And you know, I think that he knew some scouts were there to see him. He was going to come out, you know, roaring. And I thought that maybe he dribbled a little too much early. He was scoring, but I was kind of worried. Don't fall in love with that shot. Don't fall, you know, if you got it, make it, but you know, let's not make this a habit, you know, to force those, you gotta be feeling it in that exact moment. And he did, you know, to his credit, it wasn't like he came out in the second half and just fired a ton of shots, you know, from three or whatever. He played within the offense. And I think that, what was really nice to see too is the defensive effort was there all game from him as well. And you expect that from him, but he was there all game playing really hard defensively, jumped out on a few things, but he would recover. I do think that you had some freshman moments for him. You know, he back-to-back possessions, he tried to throw a lob to TJD, then he tried to throw a lob to Race, and there wasn't really an angle for either of those. But I think you're feeling the moment, you want to make it the exclamation point, and it turns into a turnover and it's going the other way. So you have those moments where, and you're starting to see Xavier Johnson really realize that, hey, you know what, let's slow back. Let's pull things back. Let's set it up, because we're scoring so much on offense. We don't need to rush anything or force anything. So that'll come. He's a freshman. But yeah, he's just a really impressive player. Every time he's on the floor, he does something to impress you. And, you know, I'm just going to enjoy it while he's here, because with nights like tonight, you're starting to feel like it's not going to be very much longer.
Well, and I think with him, at the beginning of the game, he really took advantage of the fact that Carolina started out with Leaky Black on Xavier Johnson. Really good defender, trying to take X a little bit out of the game. And just, you know, that was, I forget which preview it was that I listened to, but, you know, him being guarded by the smaller Carolina guards, he really took advantage of that early, and I thought played well. And then in some ways, as the game went on, you saw him maybe try to make a couple home run plays in there. Ryan, you referenced those couple. There was even some at the end of the game where he ends up, you know, driving and losing the ball. And as odd as it may sound to say right now, you can potentially see him. Their games are not wildly similar, but you look at Xavier Johnson at this time a year ago and the maturity that he's shown over that time. I don't know that their early last season, a lot of people were like, yeah, he needs to, you know, Xavier Johnson is a guy we want teaching, you know, late game poise to somebody else. But I do think what you saw from X tonight was, you know, huge improvements in that area. There were times late in the game he could have driven, but he pulled the ball out, got fouled, got to the line, made free throws. So I think having those two guys together, there's been a lot made of how well they actually play together on the floor. And I thought they did pretty well at that tonight, because they could pick and choose matchups. But I also think they can, you know, maybe learn from one another. X can mentor him a little bit in some of those kinds of decision-making areas where you don't want to pull him back too far. And that was always kind of the thing with X. You don't want to take the edge off of what he does, because he's trying to make, you know, these big plays that the roof's going to blow off the place if you make it, and just trying to understand the right moments for those and the moments maybe to throttle it down a little bit. So be interesting to see how that evolves for him over the course of the season, but hard not to feel good about where things will end up in that way.
Ladies and gentlemen, live from the Carnegie Hall of College Hoops, where he took in tonight's game, it is the coach, Brian Tonsoni, here with a live report. Coach, give us your impressions of a great night of Indiana basketball.
Is my mic working, everybody? You can,
good
can you hear?
You're good.
Okay. To be real quick, it was absolutely an incredible atmosphere here tonight. The crowd was here early. Students were filled all the way up to the top. Just the energy is what everyone would expect for a big game. And then I thought the guys came out and just played extremely hard and energized. And it wasn't perfect, especially on the offensive end, but defensively, wow, did they really take it to North Carolina. And then I had the pleasure of sitting next to Miller Kopp in the media room. He just came in, sat down right next to me, and was cluing me in on the words that the guys were supposed to say. So
I believe one of them was anaconda. Was that one of them?
Anaconda or constricted, I think. And then jellyfish.
It had to be constricted.
Yeah. And then jellyfish was Jalen Hood-Schifino. He couldn't get it in, but he leaned in right when he was leaving the podium and said jellyfish. But he didn't say it in any context. But Miller's a great teammate. He just he said, listen to this. And he was tapping me and telling me when it was going to happen. And he was filming. And so just a great night. But a quick take, defensively, this team is going to really cause a lot of problems throughout the season. Xavier Johnson was fantastic on ball pressure. I thought Trey Galloway did a great job defensively. And then they just made enough plays when things got a little tight. You know, it was, 59-52. They were able to make a couple key baskets. I thought Woodson did a good job of getting the ball in the post when shots were being a little loose in the first half. So, you know, I'm looking forward to going back and rewatching it and slowing it down a little bit. But this was a solid effort and a solid win, and it's the second win on the resume. And so let's go.
Man, you know, watching on TV, I mean, I'm not sure I can remember seeing an Indiana team play that hard defensively for 40 minutes. I mean, you know, and we've talked a little bit about how the defense has been a little up and down so far this season. It's still been really good, but maybe just a little leakier than we expected. And tonight, I mean, they were elite defensively. Was it as intense watching their live as it felt like on TV?
Absolutely. That's the word I wrote in my notes, was the intensity of how they played, fighting through the ball screens and the drop and over coverage that they were running on the ball screen, attacking shots at the rim to block shots. The only negative maybe is some rebounding. I think that's always going to be an issue with this team. They're going to have to get some better rebounding, gave up too many offensive rebounds. But yes, you could just feel it here, and they played off the energy, and they helped create the energy too. Nothing was better than that segment where X got the deflection and Galloway got a breakaway, and then Geronimo just locked down a guy in the corner of the half court and got a deflection, dove on the floor, tapped it ahead. I mean, those are winning plays, and those are going to win in March, and that's what Coach Woodson's brought. And, you know, it just was a thrilling evening here in Assembly Hall.
See, Coach, this show has chemistry, because what you just said was the banner moment. That exact sequence is what I said is the banner moment. Well, Coach, thank you for the live report. You got a lot of background noise, so we're going to let you go. But we appreciate you being here. Okay. So glad you were able to be at the game, man. That must have been an awesome, awesome atmosphere.
Have a great show. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks, Coach. All right. So let's finish up meaningful moments. You know, the other one that I want to mention, and look, I mean, I thought Xavier Johnson was terrific, especially in the second half, just kind of as Indiana's closer. You know, he had that one bad play where he got into the lane, didn't know what to do, and threw up that weird shot, and it kind of got the frustration foul. And it's like, X, what are you doing?
And quite frankly, he had a little bit of time. He didn't need to do it, but it was kind of like, maybe he was thinking 3 seconds on himself or something.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like,
I don't know. And
are we sure these referees would have known enough to call 3 seconds?
No,
I don't think we can assume that at all.
He could have moved his apartment in there and they never would have called.
Yeah. So look, you know, that happened, whatever. Like, outside of that, he was great. He pulled the ball back when he needed to. He was able to drive and get to the bucket when he needed to. He made 8 out of 10 free throws. But I'll tell you, you know, the one play that I can't stop thinking about is, you know, he drove in and he missed a really good look at a layup. Like, I think he thought he was going to get fouled and he tried to put a little bit too much on it and he just missed it. I am not sure I've ever seen someone sprint back in transition defense as fast as he did. And, you know, and I think it was RJ Davis who looked like he was going to have a real easy transition opportunity. I don't even think he fouled him. I think he just got a deflection. It might have gone out of bounds. North Carolina might have even kept the ball. I'm not even sure. But he just went and just totally messed up what they were going to do. And it was just, Andy, an example of the kind of hustle that we saw all night and what you see from X. And it's the kind of thing that even, you know, fans who were frustrated with him early last year, it's the reason why everybody was patient with him, because, my God, the guy plays hard, you know. And it was just that play. Instead of just, you know, being mad that he missed the layup, I mean, he just turned and sprinted to get back in transition. Indiana's transition defense was really good tonight, you know, and that's effort and just caring about it. And that's what Xavier Johnson brings. He plays hard and he just really, really cares. And it was really embodied in that play to me.
Yeah, I mean, fast break points, they only gave up five the entire game. I think that obviously speaks to the level of the transition defense that that they provided. But yeah, I thought he did a really good job. He's just continued to evolve in terms of picking his spots and knowing when to go and when not to, like we talked about a minute ago. I mean, he ends up with a couple turnovers, but had four assists, eight rebounds, was actually the second leading rebounder behind Trace. Some of the North Carolina shots were ricocheting pretty far out. And so you saw, 14 rebounds between X and Huchefino. So, just really solid play from him, strong decision-making, really, really good on-ball defense, as Coach said, was a huge part of what they were able to do at the point of attack defensively. And just love continuing to see him play that way. He had another big bucket came off a curl and made an elbow jumper, I think it was, at a time when I don't know that North Carolina was totally getting back in it. I don't know that it ever really felt like there was, huge game pressure on them, but they had just come off of making a three, and I think he hit it there, either a floater or an elbow jumper somewhere I had written down here, toward the end, and really was a guy who wanted the ball to get fouled once Carolina was actually called for fouls, and did a great job stepping up to the line. Would have loved to see him make all of them. He ended up missing the very last one of the eight he took late in the game, but just a joy to watch at this point from him. Just the effort level and the passion is pretty inescapable at this point, I'd say.
Yeah, the thing about X that I've loved the most watching him over the last year and a half ish is just watching him mature. I mean, he's become such a steady presence for Indiana. I mean, he's an explosive presence, but he also steadies the team. The team's better when he's on the floor. I mean, you've got a five-star freshman who is an unbelievable point guard, who's great. And if Indiana only had Jalen Huchefino, they'd be a really good team. They would. But with Xavier Johnson, they're a great team. And quite frankly, when he is on, he's as good as any point guard we're going to face this year. Maybe not ceiling-wise, but as a college basketball player, he is outstanding, and he knows the rhythms of the game on both ends of the floor really well. You'll see him get a little frustrated every once in a while, and you see that kind of the X we saw at the start of last season come out a bit, where he wants to argue with an official or talk some trash or whatever. But it's almost like there was a big devil on his shoulder last year, small angel, and it's like they've swapped in sizes, and he's just kind of reining it in a little. And he knows, hey, if I screw up, I don't have to make a spectacular play to compound it. Just play solid, and I will up, and it will come back to me. And so, one thing that was encouraging is he dropped 20 tonight and didn't hit a three. I mean, he was 0-3 from 3-point range. Usually, when he has a high scoring game, it's because he knocks down a couple threes. And so he was really attacking, getting into the lane, and finding his teammates. He had four assists as well. So, and getting IU settled and getting them into things. So it's great having the two ball handlers, but without Xavier Johnson, the ceiling on the team just isn't as high.
Coach just texted us a picture of him sitting next to Miller Kopp at the in the media session. That's going to go up in his man cave, I bet. Andy, you had a moment as well.
There was one. IU went on a 9-2 run to start the second half, and I think Hubert Davis was trying to make it to the under 16 timeout. And they did not make it to the under 16 timeout. And a really nice piece of coaching by Mike Woodson. IU comes out, puts full court pressure on, and gets a 5-second call coming out of a timeout, which they then turned into a bucket right away on a lob from Kopp to TJD, not quite for a dunk, but one that he was able to lay in. Just kind of a smart coaching wrinkle to change something up coming out of the timeout. You had all the momentum. Strong execution by the guys, and then to turn that into like not just we're going to throw the ball back out and run something else, but to really get something off of that that inbounds play, which they ran a few times, didn't get it to Trace every time, but were able to run it really even on both sides of the floor. But just thought that was kind of a nice little wrinkle, a good coaching point, and you steal yourself a couple points there.
All right, well, let's talk numbers real quick, and I don't know that we need to spend a whole lot of time here, because this wasn't a numbers game to me. This was a you know, I mean, this was, it was just, you know, an effort and grit and togetherness game that Indiana had. But you know, I do think there are some numbers that stand out. One, you know, Indiana holds North Carolina to 0.956 points per possession. That's one of the best offenses, certainly one of the most talented offensive teams in the country. And I get, you know, Baycott's a little bit compromised physically. But they held him to 0.956, and that's with North Carolina taking 27 free throws, of which several I don't think they deserved. And so you remove those, and that point per possession
several?
Number. Yeah, well, I'm trying to be charitable here because it's a happy show. But North Carolina for the game shoots 33.9%. I mean, just, you know.
27.8 from three. I mean, there's a team that can shoot it.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, as Jay Billis mentioned several times, everything was hard. You know, everything was difficult for them. And that's what was so great about watching this team play defense, is they were contesting everything. It wasn't just kind of sitting back and kind of reacting to the offense. It was imposing their will on what North Carolina was trying to do. And that, combined with the dominance in the paint, North Carolina scores 24 points in the paint, Indiana 50. That's the game. You know, that's where the game was won. We've talked a lot about Indiana's three-point shooting and how they would need to make threes to beat good teams. Well, they were 4-for-12 against Xavier. They were 3-for-13 against North Carolina. You know, and right now, the reason, Andy, why I think this team is able to do that is obviously Trayce Jackson-Davis' singular greatness of being that efficient in the post, but also Indiana's ability to get those points in transition that help you, you know, have efficient offense even when you're not making the threes. And so it's clear that this team, you know, I still think, you know, the three-point shooting is going to be needed in certain games. It's not to say that they don't need it. But for them to do that in these two big games that were such tough physical games, you know, against, you know, talented teams, says a lot about what this team can do and just how many more options they have offensively, you know, because it did seem like the offense was pretty disjointed at times tonight. And yet, Andy, they go, you know, 1.132 points per possession, in large part because their defense created so many easy opportunities for them on offense.
Yeah, the points off turnovers ended up 17-4. And those 17 points only off of 10 North Carolina turnovers. So it wasn't like there was a huge volume of those. We touched on some of the fast break points earlier. And I think it was a game where IU was really successful getting the ball where they wanted it in the lane. I mean, they shot 57% on twos in the game. So I'm not sure you need to really force a whole lot of taking threes. I thought when situations presented itself and they tried to double Trayce in the post, they were able to kick out and get threes that way. But largely it was go inside first and then, you know, try to figure things out from that perspective. But yeah, I think to your point, the defense was really the tone setter here. I mean, Jay Billis referenced this on the broadcast. North Carolina finishes with 5 assists for the whole game. I mean, it just, everything devolved into one-on-one basketball for the most part, because IU took them out of what they wanted to do. And that was almost the whole game. I mean, it was a stretch in the first half. Yeah, it was a stretch in the first half. They started running some plays for Pete Nance. And it was the only thing that resembled true offense for a stretch. It was actually one of North Carolina's most successful offensive stretches when they were actually running some of that. But otherwise, everything just broke down into, you know, go around a moving screen from the North Carolina big of your choice and then see what you can create off of that. But man, I mean, limit them to five assists and really force them into taking some bad shots. And some of the shots that North Carolina did hit were incredibly difficult shots.
All of Nance's shots
in your face that you would, you know, they bank in a three at the beginning. I think, you know, a couple of the ones that Caleb Love hit were both tough shots. Maybe RJ Davis was one of them, but just really made everything difficult for them, like you said.
You know, conversely, Jared, it speaks to what the offense was tonight, that Indiana shot 50% from the field. You know, it's because they were attacking, they were doing what they did. And you're right. Look, eventually there's going to be a game, a big game they run into where they're not going to be able to score in the paint at will. I mean, they've got great players and they'll maybe be able to play a team even in the paint, you know, at worst. They're going to have to knock down some threes. They will. They didn't need to tonight. And maybe it depends on the flow of the game and you feel it out. But, you know, Miller Kopp wasn't out there for – he's your best shooter. He wasn't out there for long stretches because Trey Galloway was having such a good game. And just the flow of the game was an attacking inside game. And you needed his defense. You wanted his defense out there as well. But that's going to need to happen. It is. I mean, you know, not to put a damper on it, but at some point they've got to start knocking down threes in these bigger games. It's tougher. The defenses are better. The players are playing are more athletic. But against Kansas, Arizona, you know, some of the Big Ten matchups, going to need to do it. But tonight was an example of finding what didn't look like a glaring weakness for North Carolina coming in. There were questions of maybe Baycott will play, Trace Jackson Davis even, and, you know, Race Thompson and Nance is a pretty good matchup. Maybe you're going to have to find scoring other places. That wasn't the case. Indiana dominated. And they dominated with their guards in the paint, too. It wasn't just the big guys. So, you know, it worked tonight, and it worked great tonight. And you're right, getting those points in transition does make up for some threes that you might not have. They have 12 points of transition. That's four threes. You know, I mean, it's a way to be efficient without hitting those. At the same time, that is something we still have to harp on and focus on. They need to knock those down, and they're going to need to put the kind of ceiling on this season that we want. They're going to have to start hitting some of those.
Yeah, the only other number I wanted to mention, and it's really just an excuse to talk about this guy, is 1-for-6 for Malik Renu, you know, who found the going a little bit tougher inside. You know, I didn't think, and I actually thought most of those shots were good. I think he forced one early, you know, and obviously took a three, but he was wide open. Like, I think he needs to take that shot. Yeah, he just missed it. And then in the second half, he was getting position, had a ton of good looks, had that nice little lefty, you know, kind of jump hook, and he just missed them. I have zero concern about Malik Renu. You know, yes, you know, kind of some freshman moments, a foul away from the basket and a few things like that. But I thought he got the ball in good positions and the shots just didn't fall. But, you know, like Jalen Huccifino, he got in there and got to his spots and did his thing. You know, he was ready to play and the shots just didn't go down. And I think that's, you know, another area, you know, on a normal night, he hits a couple of those. It's 81-65. You know, so I'm not concerned at all about him, you know, and thought he did some good things out there, just wasn't able to make some of the shots that he normally is.
Yeah. With Malik, you know, this is the first time he's gone against grown men. I mean, let's be real. I mean, this is the first time he's faced real college big men. And he did struggle. I think it was harder for him to get position. You know, the defense was a little better on him when he'd try and drive a little bit. And he was getting out muscled a little bit at times. Now, again, he's a freshman. That's going to happen. It's just weird seeing it because of how successful he's been. But, you know, Baycott and Pete Nance are, you know, large dudes in there that are very strong. And he's just going to have to get used to that. And also, I will say for freshmen, I mean, I know Jalen handled it really well. But, you know, in that atmosphere with that kind of adrenaline going and everything, if you haven't had that yet, it can get you going a little fast. Maybe you don't finish all the way through your shot. You kind of just throw it up a little quick, or you go too fast or too slow here, or think too much. That happens. And so I'm not concerned either. Worth noting though, that it was the biggest challenge he's had yet in college, struggled with it. He'll learn from it and move on. Again, you're right that he came in and didn't seem shy of the moment at all. Just wasn't able to accomplish what he was trying to accomplish. And he'll have to, you know, work on that moving forward. He also got into foul trouble quick too. So kind of throws you off a little bit. But yeah, not concerned at all about Malik, not his best game, but we've said from the beginning, Jalen and Malik are going to have freshman games where the other guys have to step up and pick them up. And tonight was one of those.
Yeah. I think with him, the only turnover he had was, I think right after he came into the game, he was just a little loose with his dribble trying to get in. That was really the bigger issue. I thought he could get to the spots that he wanted to get the ball without having to put it on the floor. And so that was really where he was, you know, maybe a little careless with it. If you want to look at positives with him, I think there's a couple that I would give. One is he's not afraid to go against anybody. I mean, he went right at Baycott as soon as he got in the game.
Almost looked like he was.
Maybe that's a blessing. Maybe that's a curse. I don't really
know. It's not even that he's not afraid. Like, he wants it.
Yeah. And that was one. And the other, there were a couple times late in the first half, especially after Trace went out, that they really tried to go at him defensively. And one of the times he did a really good job of pushing Baycott out, made him take a tough shot, a hook from, you know, maybe 8 feet away, did a really good job, didn't foul there. Another time he let himself get back down a little bit and did give up a basket. But I thought he showed some good things on that end against a tough cover for him. So a little bit inconsistent in that regard, but I thought showed some good things there. And a great learning opportunity for him, given the guys he was playing against, because there's certainly no shortage of big guys in the Big Ten who are going to challenge him as well. And so good for him to get this under his belt, and could easily look and say, hey, there's a couple of those baskets fall that rattled around the rim and ended up going out.
The KenPom numbers are updated. Indiana second in the country in effective field goal percentage offensively, fifth in two-point percentage, and they are 13th in defensive two-point percentage, 11th overall in defense. So, I mean, this team profiling right now, 13th in offense, 11th in defense, as one of the elite teams in college basketball right now. And, you know, that's with two real games. Yeah. Two real games. Only other number, fellas, 16 rebounds. 17 rebounds between Xavier Johnson, Jalen Huccifino, and Trey Galloway. A number coach has been looking at a lot to guard rebounds, which is big on a night when Race Thompson only got two rebounds in 27 minutes. Malik Renew only gets three rebounds. You know, those guards needed to rebound, and they did. They stepped up as they've been doing all season long.
How about that Huccifino rebound where he grabbed it with one hand, brought so it down, good. And kept the dribble? It's like, you don't, Jalen, you can pick that up and start over again. You don't have to keep that going. They'll save
it. And he actually boxed out. Like, we saw a real box out. It was
he
great.
Went up, he grabbed it with one hand, brought it down, lost it a little, and instead of just picking it up, started a dribble and dribbled between his legs and then dribbled it out and then said, no, I got it. I'm good, man. Like, that was ridiculous.
So great. So great. All right, coming up on the Assembly Call and our final segment, we are going to hand out our Game Balls and Hoosier Hustle Award. That is going to be a challenge. We'll discuss a lingering question or two and then look ahead to Indiana's next opponent. That is next here on the Assembly Call. Stick with us.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait till you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This is Jordan Halls, and I never miss a shot or an episode of The Assembly Call.
Thank you, Jordan. You are listening to the Assembly Call IU postgame show. Catch us live immediately following every IU basketball game, even the late ones, plus every Thursday night at our website, assemblycall.com. And make sure that you sign up for our free IU Hoops email newsletter. We have almost 10,000 people on that list. You can join for free, join.assemblycall.com. That's join.assemblycall.com. As soon as we wrap this, I'm going to be working on our postgame email, and that will be out first thing in the morning. So make sure you get on there. I'm Jared Morris, here with Ryan Phillips, here with Andy Bottoms. And it is time now for our game balls, which are presented by our friends at Bloom Environmental, where Allie and James and the crew help folks in southern and south central Indiana maintain healthy air quality in their home or business. You can learn more at bloomenviro.com. And when you mention this ad, you get 23% off all their testing services. A nod, of course, to the great TJD, who, if he wins this game ball, is really going to start running away with the game ball contest, as you would assume that your All-American would do. But I'm curious where you guys are going with your game balls, if anybody has a curveball. Ryan, why don't you lead us off?
It's got to be Trace Jackson Davis. As I said earlier, the best player on the floor, and both teams knew it. Everybody in the arena knew it. The announcers knew it. The opposing radio broadcast knew it. You know, I mean, everybody knew it. And every time he stepped on the floor, I swear you could see North Carolina slump their shoulders because we got to deal with this guy again, you know. And, you know, I think one of the best parts of it, he's only played 31 minutes, and he was that efficient with 21 points, 10 rebounds, 4 assists, and four blocks, and all four of those blocks were emphatic. So really just a great, and as you mentioned, Jared, he also affected shots that he didn't block. So it's got to be TJD.
As you guys know, I am normally one who doesn't like the auto bench with two fouls. And my initial reaction when he was saying, leave me in, is leave him in. The man wants to stay, leave him in. I even tweeted about it, and I immediately thought better of it. And I thought it was really smart by Mike Woodson to take him out. Number one, I thought he might just be taking him out until the under 4 minute timeout, give him a little rest. But I think letting him sit there, you know, the reduction of risk on the third foul, I don't really care about. But, you know, for a guy that has obviously been dealing with some injuries, you know, to kind of buy some time there and keep him fresh for the second half, that's where I think context made that a good decision. So I did endorse that decision. And look, you know, Trace came out and was terrific in the second half. So I fully agree. He gets my game ball. You know, just a terrific all around performance on both ends. I mean, him, the way that he has rounded out who he is as a player, both as a leader and just his ability to impact on both ends consistently. You know, that's always kind of been the question with Trace, is he can fade in and out of games and even from game to game. And we're just not seeing that this year. I mean, when he is on the court, he is bringing it and he is setting a tone for his teammates. All the old guys are. X doing the same thing. Locked in. You know, this team has terrific internal leadership. And that starts with Trace. Andy, do you want to go with Trace, or do you want to maybe toss in another vote since he already has it wrapped up?
No reason to get cute with it. He's the pick for me, so I'll make it unanimous.
So Trace now with four game balls, Malik Renew, Xavier Johnson, and Tamar Bates all have one, and of course, whoever wins the game ball contest, we are going to take a portion of the money that Bloom and Viro paid us and pay them to come on, do an interview, a nice little reward. Trace Jackson Davis out big right now in the lead for that one. And you know what? Games like tonight are why we created the Hoosier Hustle Award, because more people deserve honors. I kind of feel like we need to create three or four more awards to award guys for tonight. But we have the Hoosier Hustle Award, and we will get to that now. The Hoosier Real Hustle Award.
Hi, this is Anthony Leal, reminding you to check out our friends at Evansville Security Services. Based in the hometown of IU legend Calvert Cheney, Evansville Security Services has been providing off-duty police officers to businesses and individuals since 2001. In other words, they're in the business of prevention and peace of mind. And remember, prevention cannot be measured. To learn more about how Evansville Security Services can help you preserve your peace of mind by preventing bad outcomes, visit EvansvilleSecurityServices.com. That's EvansvilleSecurityServices.com.
You know, there's a lot of reasons to love and respect Anthony Leal, who obviously didn't play tonight as he nurses his leg injury. But right after the game, he tweets, right back here tomorrow night for the Indiana women's game, huge game, which is awesome. Indiana plays North Carolina tomorrow night. We have two top 10 teams. That team is great. And all I could think about when Jay Billis said this has been a man's game tonight, Jay Billis needs to watch the Indiana women play, because that's the kind of tough physical basketball that they play. There's nothing man specific about the way that basketball was played tonight, and always cool to see other IU athletes supporting each other. I saw Tywan Mullen say that he needs a Trey Galloway jersey. So lots of love from the fellow athletes. Hoosier Hustle Award. I think there's a lot of different ways that you can go with this, but I have a hunch where we're all going. Andy, why don't you go first?
You did.
If you Sorry. Want to.
No, I was looking up. I was trying to look up something about Rutgers, and I got. I didn't get back in time to
be present. What are you doing? Anyway.
Right, hey, I got to get ready for the next part. I'm prepping for the next part of the show.
It's That's also, what I get to do now.
It's also 12:35 a.m. here. So, anyway, I'm going to go with Galloway for this one. I think Galloway and X feel like the potential options, and I don't think you'd really go wrong with either one of them. But I just thought. You know, in some ways, I view this award as somebody who really provides a spark through the way that they play and how hard they play. And I thought that was exactly what Trey gave them tonight. And in some ways, that comes from a not totally unexpected source, but I don't think you knew what you were going to get from him tonight coming back from injury for sure. So in that regard, probably was unexpected a little bit. But I just thought the plays that he made, how disruptive he was defensively was really kind of embodies what you think of with the Hoosier Hustle Award. Now you could probably take the same things I just said and say about X and say he should get it, and you will get absolutely no argument from me.
Ryan, who gets your Hoosier Hustle Award?
I'm going to give it to Galloway as well. I just thought that when he was in there, he really elevated Indiana. The weird thing is looking at it, and again, this is why plus minus is a dumb stat. He was only plus six, but it felt like Indiana was at its best when he was out there providing that spark. And I thought several times it felt like, wow, he's one of the better two or three players on the court right now for this stretch. And, you know, for a guy who was, you know, I don't want to say he was an unheralded recruit or anything. I mean, he was, you know, Indiana people were excited about him, but he was, you know, I don't think he was a top 100 guy. And to be out there with all of that talent, all of those five stars, all of that, and to be, you know, as disruptive as he was against them was really impressive. And it just shows you the kind of guy he is and the kind of player he is and the kind of energy he brings and the kind of discipline he has on both ends to make something happen. And I just thought he was such a spark.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think there's a lot of ways that you can go with this. I thought Jordan Geronimo played extremely hard in his minutes. I thought Jalen Huchefino played really hard. I thought Miller Kopp played really hard, you know, didn't get a lot of opportunities as a shooter tonight, you know, but I thought, you know, got some rebounds kind of out of his area and just, you know, played good, solid defense. Yeah, but I agree with you guys. I think it's got to be Trey. I just think how hard he played defensively against Caleb Love – I swear you could just see Caleb Love's soul just like leaking out of his body and just, you know, laying there on the Assembly Hall court. He wanted no part of that, you know, and for Trey to do that coming off of, you know, the injury that he's dealing with, which is a, you know, lower leg injury. It was terrific. I mean, he was just a huge spark plug, you know, played hard, but this was a night where so many guys could have gotten it. And that's what made this game so much fun to watch, is they all were so connected. You know, there were a couple miscommunications in the first half. You know, they had a miscommunication on a couple switches, but otherwise everything seemed tighter and more connected tonight. You know, so some of these concerns that we've had on here after a 300 level game where the defense was a little leaky, it's okay, we don't need to worry about that. You know, like when the bell rings, this team clearly is going to answer it as they showed tonight. So Trey Galloway wins his first Hoosier Hustle Award of the season. Jordan Geronimo and Xavier Johnson both have two. CJ Gunn, Race Thompson, and Trey Galloway all with one. Ryan, it appears in the chat that we have a trivia time. Do you have questions for us here as we enter the lingering questions section of the show?
I was looking at the numbers just for the season. Without looking, guys, who do you think leads Indiana in minutes this year?
Huchefino.
That would have been my guess.
By a lot.
Yeah.
196 and second is 178 is X. And here's a question. There are two guys tied for the highest plus minus. Again, plus minus is a dumb stat. I just think it's fun to look at. Who do you think leads Indiana in plus minus this year? It's two guys tied.
Plus minus for the season.
Yeah. Geronimo?
Nope. Geronimo
I know he had really high plus minus a couple games.
He's second. I mean, there's two guys tied, but he would be next.
Is it Tamar?
That's one of them.
Who I want to talk about, by the way, after this.
Okay. The other is Jalen Huchefino. They're both tied at 109. X is 105, and Geronimo is 106. Now TJD is low because he missed a game. So it's, but yeah. Still, he's also facing starters. So you know. Yep. But I just that was funny to me is that Jalen Huchefino is leading the team in minutes. He led and what I was checking on is he led the team in minutes tonight with 35. And so I was wondering where he stood for the season. He's far ahead of everybody else by like 20 minutes. So I mean that's interesting that they're leaning on him heavily. Now he's playing with the second unit sometimes during those blowouts, and so that probably has a lot to do with it. But still, he's been out there a lot this year. For a freshman, you know, they're really not shy about having him out there and big moments and in blowouts too.
I want to talk just real quick about Scoop, you know, who, you know, only, you know, he played 12 minutes, you know, hit that three. And I think one of the big questions coming out of last game is, okay, he scores 20 some points. He looked real confident, you know, but again, Xavier, he really didn't look very comfortable. I thought he looked a lot more comfortable out there today. I mean, he came in his first possession, he was wide open. He fired up the three. Now he missed it, but he just seemed a little bit more comfortable using his dribble, kind of getting to, you know, his spots. And again, you know, only had the 1 3-pointer, but I do think there were a few kind of signs of growth from him that you want to see from an offensive perspective. I mean, did you guys agree? Like, what kind of sense did you get watching him tonight?
Yeah, I think one of the things we texted about was, I think he's trying to figure out what the balance is between last season, when I think he was almost aggressive to a fault in terms of trying to take shots, make things happen. And this year, there might be times when he's deferring a little too much. There was a couple of plays in a row. There was one, they got it to him at the top of the key off a ball reversal. And I'm in my head thinking he's just going to drive. Now, he made the extra pass to Geronimo, who's wide open on the wing for a three. And if that shot goes in, I think that was a you know, moment where maybe that would have pushed the lead to double digits. Crowd would have gone crazy, but it felt like he had an opportunity to drive. And then there was another one. He made a really nice baseline drive, and he ended up making a good pass to the corner, but felt like there was even an opportunity to take a shot with that. So I think you're seeing a guy who is settling into a role that's a little bit different than what he had a year ago, when probably too much was put on him when he was playing with the second unit, and now trying to figure out how to play a more complementary role with those guys and just balance out the right level of aggressiveness versus unselfishness and things like that. So I think still saw some good things from him, fought defensively just like everybody else did
very much
at times in the game, and doing some good things in that regard. So no real concern from me. Thought he acquitted himself fine. Just, you know, maybe some things that they look back at the film, maybe he would, you know, make a different decision in a couple cases. They weren't bad decisions in either case. He made a pass, found a teammate, didn't turn the ball over, just you know, maybe was a more aggressive play or shot to be taken.
Yeah, I think it was in his mind to be more aggressive. Maybe somebody got into him, because that charge he had was forced. I mean, that was the only thing he forced, really. And he kind of lowered his shoulder, and there was nothing really there. And I think it was just kind of like, well, I got to drive, so let's go. And I think you're right, Andy. That time he caught it at the top of the key, I thought it would have been perfect for either a drive to the hoop or a two dribble to that mid-range pull-up that he really loves. His first three went in and out, and then he made one. And so fine with both of those shots. I would like to see him try and get into the flow of the offense a little more attacking wise. And maybe it felt forced tonight. They had a lot of big guys down low. Maybe that's not to his specialty. What we have seen him do a lot so far this year is get out and transition and be a great finisher in transition. Didn't really have any opportunities to do that when he was on the floor, or, you know, Galloway got it or, you know, something like that. But again, no major concerns from him tonight. I mean, I would like to see him maybe take advantage when he has those one-on-one opportunities to drive, like you pointed out, but nothing concerning from him. You're not going to score 20 points every game. You're not going to score 10 points every game. Play your role, and when you have the opportunities, go take them. It's the same with Malik tonight. Only had 2 points. Then he played horribly. You know, it isn't what we're used to seeing, not what we'd love to see from him in the future, but it doesn't mean he played a bad game. It just, you know, you fill in your role and do things, in other ways.
Lingering question, Ryan, I want to ask you about Race Thompson, who has been less productive than we've been used to, you know, in some of the cupcake games. And I think we chalked it up to, you know, as Jay Billis said, he was recruited by Branch McCracken, you know, so how is he really going to get up for these games? But Indiana has now played two, you know, tier A games against Xavier, up there, and then against North Carolina. And in those two games, his offensive rating is 79. His defensive rebounding percentage is 12.1%. He's only taken 7 twos. He's made 3 of them. He's 0-for-5 from 3. You know, you just compare that to last year, you know, in those tier A games, his offensive rating 110. His defensive rebounding percentage, you know, 22.5. It's noticeable how much less productive he is. And part of that is being surrounded by other guys and guards who are getting rebounds and some of those things. But I don't think that accounts for all of it. What are you seeing from Race, and you know, what is his role on this team to you?
So, two things. One, I thought defensively he was really good tonight. I really did think he moved very well. Nance hit some really tough shots over him where he forced him. The idea with him, make him shoot over you. And he did that all night. Nance banked some in. Nance had some tough angles, went over the top of him. I think it's exactly what you want from him. Get in the guy's way, make him go over top of you. Don't let him get by you. He did that. You're right that we haven't seen him with the energy or bounce that we've seen in the past. He's not. The thing is, he's probably where everyone else is energy-wise, but you're used to seeing him on another level. Offensively, a lot of his points last year came doing high-low with Trayce Jackson-Davis. A lot of it came when Jackson Davis was on the bench and they had him posting up straight. Well, they've got Malik Renu to do that now.
Yeah.
They're not playing high-low anymore. They're doing a lot of pick and roll with the guards, and they are doing straight post-ups. There's a very little of Race catching the ball at the free throw line and going over the top to TJD or vice versa. So that's changed, and that is not there. Now, maybe against different opponents, that will come back. Do I think that this is – he's just fine? No, there's he hasn't been playing as well. I'm not concerned yet because this is a guy who has a several-year track record of doing the same thing over and over. We don't know what's going on. We're not in practice. We don't know if this is an overall thing. But, yes, there is something going on where he's not as effective offensively. You were hoping he'd hit some threes this year. He's done it a little bit, but, I mean, he airballed one tonight, I think, didn't he? It was not with
almost looked like shot. It slipped out of his hands.
It did. Weird. I mean, it was clear it did. It came off to the side. But yeah, no, I mean, and you know, which with Trace out, he did score some, you know, in that game that Trace was out. He played really well in that, was attacking and everything. I think it's hard for him when he's not, you know, doing that two-man game. I think that that was what really benefited both of them. They have great chemistry on that, and they're not doing it this year as much. So I don't know. I mean, maybe, I mean, obviously whatever they're doing is working.
Yeah.
It's just not working to get Race points. So we'll see how he settles into this. It's almost like he's, you know, learning a different role. He's on the perimeter a lot more. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I think we're going to have to see how he settles into the game. And by, I'd say the end of December, we'll know what he's going to be this year.
Yeah. All right, Andy, unless, do you guys have any other lingering questions that we want to get to? Andy's only lingering question is I want to go to bed. Andy, but thank you for your courage and staying
up
late.
Not really a question, but no.
Let's look ahead. Indiana plays Rutgers. Well, we do have a show tomorrow night, by the way. It's going to be Coach Tonsoni and Coach Adranya, so you'll get some different perspectives on the game than you got here from us. They'll be on Assembly Call Radio tomorrow night. And then Saturday, Indiana plays Rutgers. It is a 4 Eastern tip. I know my initial fear was, oh my goodness, you know, the U.S. men's national team made it into the knockout round of the World Cup, but they play at 10 o'clock Eastern time on Saturday. So you have plenty of time, get up early, watch them, take a nap, and then watch Indiana play Rutgers. Boo-hoo. Boo-hoo. You get to be on the Pacific time tonight, so it's good for you. Andy, you know, last year when Indiana had a huge home win against Purdue, they came out the next time out and just had one of their worst performances of the season against Michigan. And so now they turn around, they go on the road to Rutgers, a team that obviously doesn't have, you know, IU killers, Geo Baker and Ron Harper, but they're still Rutgers and it's still the Rack or the Jersey Mike Center, or whatever it's called now. It'll always be the Rack to me. That's a tough game, you know, to have to turn around and play, even if Rutgers doesn't seem as good. That's a program that's owned us for several years now. You know, what do we expect? And you know, from this Rutgers team, I saw Mulcahy was out again tonight, so I don't know what his status is going to be.
Yeah, I read a little bit of their post game. That was when I was unable to get myself off of mute in a timely fashion. Didn't sound like he'd been practicing. I know Peichel said he needed to be able to get through a contact practice where he could play, and he hadn't been able to do that yet. I guess he's got a shoulder injury of some kind. And Caleb McConnell was only his second game back after a knee injury, and he played a ton, it seemed like. But depth-wise, they just don't have didn't have a lot and are playing a lot of either guys in vastly expanded roles or I think the guy leading them in scoring is a transfer from Loyola Maryland, Cam Spencer. So, different cast of characters for Rutgers, but you look right now and they're 12th in adjusted defensive efficiency. So, different cast of characters, but you know, kind of the same way to go about things. So
in the ass to play.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you look at them, they're 2nd in 3-point defense, 7th in effective field goal defense, and 12th in defensive turnover rate. So look really good there. Offensively, things have been a struggle with some guys in and out. They've really only played 2 top 100 KenPom teams. They've lost to both of them, one being Temple, the other being at Miami tonight. But they were up, I think, midway through the second half of the Miami game, and Miami's a solid team. So I think to a certain extent, while the faces may change, you have a pretty good idea of what you're in for. And Trace pretty much said as much after the game when, you know, talking about that, that's, you know, kind of that has been a team that's had their number, and they know how tough it's going to be. So at least he sounds like he's saying all the right things and in that regard, and shifting focus from this game to that one. But will not be an easy one, but would be a great opportunity to get an early Big Ten road win, especially coming home to play Nebraska. Could you get out to a 2-0 start in these couple games and give yourself a little momentum from a Big Ten perspective as you go through that? So will not be easy by any means. Will probably be a rock fight if IU is able to come out and play defense like they played it this evening, and kind of see what happens. But I think you pretty much know what you're gonna get from a Rutgers game. But I think maybe fewer offensive weapons to really try to, you know, shut down and be cognizant of. And another good big man matchup with Omaruyi. And so another good test for Trace. But he's really the only big guy Rutgers has. So if you can do some things, get him in some foul trouble, give yourself an opportunity to really play through the post.
But it does feel like Indiana, maybe not last year, but it does feel like Indiana has taken Rutgers a little bit lightly. And I do not fear that. I do not fear that we will take them lightly. I don't think Trace or any of the other guys will allow that to happen. It would be foolish.
Their post-game show host certainly will not take Rutgers lightly.
No.
In the last few years.
No, absolutely not.
I wish we could, but time has proven that cannot be the case.
No. All right. Well, hey, remember to check out our friends at Home Field Apparel. Use the promo code HOME at checkout to get 15% off your first order. Gentlemen, it is time for a last call. Andy, we'll let you lead off.
You know, the one thing that we didn't talk about, and I was going to try to shoehorn this into the stats, so I guess I'll shoehorn it into this, was late game execution from this team. I think everybody, myself included, has been conditioned in recent years to expect the absolute worst in late game scenarios, as you know, a lead starts to get a little, and rightfully so. I'm not judging anyone. Like I said, I'm including myself in this. But if you look at the last 12 possessions of the game, IU scored on 10 of them. Now, a lot of those were free throws at the end of the game, but that's also a big part of it. 8 of 10 free throws down the stretch, but you saw different guys able to contribute, and IU really in those situations got the ball where they wanted to. Galloway had that one breakaway layup. TJD gets a shot inside. Race gets a shot inside. Then there was a possession. One of the two possessions out of the 12 they didn't score on was the one where they missed what felt like about 9 shots right by the basket, where they just couldn't get one to tip in and things like that. So, you know, by all accounts, could have scored on 11 of the last 12 possessions of the game. Took care of the basketball minus the one Jalen Huchefino turnover, but you had X hitting a shot. You had TJD hitting a hook in there, and then X and Galloway going to combine 8 for 10 down the line. Or from the line down the stretch. And so, you know, you look at some of those things, the defense was great, but you needed to be able to close the game out, even though North Carolina just was hanging around and felt like you should be up more and everything's going against you. And this team was calm in the face of that down the stretch, which is another reason to get excited about them, to be confident in them, and to maybe – the next time you get late in the game, maybe feel a little bit less nervous energy as you're watching that the things may go awry. So just all around a tremendous performance from the team tonight. Great win for the program. I know Woodson praised everybody from the coaching staff to the, you know, every guy up and down the roster that came in and played because the energy level was so good. And this, you know, how many times have we said this needs to, you know, the standard needs to be this, but it only matters as much as how you come out the next game. And I think in some ways it's good that the next game is a tough one and is against somebody that they've not had success for and that will not allow them to overlook things and go from there. So excited to see how they respond after this, you know, at Rutgers. And, you know, we looked at these big four games coming into the season and said, everybody said, if you give me 2-2, I'm going to be excited. All right, well, now you're playing with house money. You're 2-0 in the first two. Can you get one of the other two and finish 3-1 of those big four games? You've taken care of business in the first two, so now just let it ride, see what happens on the next ones.
And how about Coach Knight visiting practice this week and telling Trace Jackson Davis, you didn't come here to play, you came here to win. Awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome. I'm sure he enjoyed watching that defensive effort tonight. Ryan, last call.
You know, this is just a great night for Indiana basketball. I mean, those coaches, those players, those fans, everything, but just Indiana basketball in general, the whole state. Let's give it, you know, I mean, this is what Indiana's supposed to be, and this is what it's supposed to feel like. This is why we started this postgame show, is to feel like this. Unfortunately, hasn't been a lot of that over the years.
Nine games, you know, in was the watch shot. Yeah. We peaked early.
Peaked very early. Who was there tonight, by the way? Christian Wall.
Yes, he was.
Always good having him in attendance in a big game. So this is what we're here for. This is what we're here for. This is what the listeners and the YouTube audience and everyone who follows us is here for. It's night like nights like this. This is why we do this. This is why we follow this team. This is why we dedicate this corner of our lives to this program and stuff. And it feels great when it actually happens, you know. I mean, it's almost, you've almost forgotten what it feels like to feel like you've got a great team that can play with anyone. Doesn't mean they're going to win every game, but this team plays hard. It plays smart, plays great defense, and it has the kind of players that you love to root for. And it's really everything you want in an Indiana basketball team. And it's a pleasure to watch, and it's a pleasure to come on here and talk about it after a game. And I just, this was a great night, and I look forward to hopefully many more of those this year.
Now, we texted each other before the game that there's a huge momentum opportunity for the program, and they seized it. You know, it's the kind of night that creates lifetime fans. You know, if you're at this game, it leaves an indelible mark. And I'm happy with how it worked out. It would have been fun if North Carolina was number one and kind of came in and Indiana was kind of playing the role of the underdog and you had that whole scene. But I'm kind of happy how it happened, where, you know, they came in and it was more of, hey, the pressure is a little bit on Indiana here to take care of business. And there wasn't a big to-do after the game. It wasn't like everybody rushed the court and, you know, like Mark Titus was talking about in our preview and, printing We're Back shirts. It was more, we're a top 10 team and we beat another top 25 team at home because that's what we do. There are no more upsets at Assembly Hall. This is just what we do. And this is where the program has needed to get back to. And here it is. And now I think we're going to learn a lot more about this team by how they go and approach this game coming up at Rutgers. And I think every IU fan has to just be ecstatic seeing those quotes from Trace Jackson Davis, just showing the kind of leader that he is, keeping everybody focused. This team has big goals, and they have the talent to do it. And it really seems like they have all of the other intangible elements that it'll take too. Obviously, it's early. The last time that we beat North Carolina early in the season and we're a top 10 team, our coach was fired at the end of the year. So a lot can change between now and then. But this team has all the hallmarks that you look for in a team that's going to be able to play well into December and January and February and March and keep improving. And man, tonight was just a great night of basketball. So much fun watching them play so hard. And if they're going to bring that kind of effort every night, they're going to win a whole lot of basketball games, and it's going to be a really, really fun season. Congrats to everybody on the team, in the program. Great night for Indiana basketball, Ryan, as you said. And it was just a pleasure watching it and a pleasure talking about it. All right, that is going to do it for us on this edition of the Assembly Call. If you want to see us do the show live and be part of the live chat, make sure that you subscribe to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/assemblycall. And don't forget to go to join.assemblycall.com to join our free email newsletter. Special thank you to Bob Thompson for the music you hear on the show. And special thank you to John Ringer of rigdesign.com for designing our logo. And of course, thank you for listening. We'll be back to talk IU hoops again with you tomorrow night for AC Radio. Until then,
take it from me, Christian Wofford. Keep your elbows in and your eyes on the rim. Go Hoosiers.
All right, I got to get out of here, folks. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for coming out.
All right, gentlemen. What a night. What a night. Andy, you don't have anything to do tomorrow, right? You can sleep in till noon?
Oh, yeah. That'd be great if I didn't.
Get out of here, dude. Just go.
It means you don't have to do the post-mortem. Virtually the entire day. So it should be
just
a good
curl
time.
Up right there. Turn your camera off.
Just fall asleep. We'll just have a live stream of you sleeping.
Perfect. That's what people want.
So. This is fun. This is why we do this show.
It is.
Yeah, thanks everybody who was here.
I thought Ryan was going to lapse into a Parcells level. This is why we do the show. This is why we lift all them weights. This is why, you know, I thought we were going to get a little bit of that, but yeah, what are you going to do?
I decided to rein it in at the end.
Just kidding. Way too late. Didn't want to go for it. All right. That's
no, fair. No, I'm saving it for the Kansas game. fans.
All right. And hey, also, you know, we have Assembly Call Radio tomorrow, but also the big women's game. So let's support the women's team. They are phenomenal. I feel like we got kind of good news. I mean, you know, relatively speaking on Grace Berger. I mean, it's not season ending. You know, it's kind of similar to how they were talking about Mackenzie Holmes' injury last year. So hopefully she can, you know, rest up, recover, and get back at least for the stretch run. Because, man, they're good. Two top 10 teams, man. This is a fun, fun year of basketball for Indiana. Yeah. Love it.
It's shaping up to be, it's shaping up to be the most fun year for Indiana basketball since I went there in 2003. And I mean, I don't, and because of the women's team is also good. You know, it's either we've had great men's teams, but a handful.
Yeah. And look at you. You get that, and you're a USC football fan, and they're in the playoff. You don't even have to worry about the.
Hey, they're not in the playoff yet. We got some business to take care of Friday night. Not in the playoff yet. Don't say
that's it. See, that's how you do it. You know, you come, you adopt the basketball, and then you just find another football program.
You guys are welcome. Welcome to join me on that bandwagon.
Never.
No.
Never. I jumped on my wife's Texas A&M bandwagon, and that's working out
real
well.
I've got too much invested in this program, and I can't get the Pac-12 network, and I don't want to stay up that late to watch the games.
Well, they're not giving the Pac-12 much longer, Andy, so you're good.
That's true.
They're on our time zones now.
Yeah. It's going to be great. I'm so excited about that.
So glad that barrier to entry has been removed for me. That's exciting.
All right, everybody. We will see you here tomorrow and Saturday. Have a great night.
All right. See you guys.
See y'all.